Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. This will come as no surprise to you, but I'll remind you once again that I have never birthed a child. The Lord has not equipped my body to grow that sort of life inside of me and to give birth or to nurture. The Lord has instead made me male. But He has been gracious enough to give me as a gift a helpmeet who is equipped to do those sorts of things. I have never had to give birth to a child. I cannot fully comprehend the pain and the suffering that it endures. But, Lord willing, I'll be able to witness that miracle for the seventh time here in just a little under 2 months. I do not understand the pain and suffering of childbirth. Not a single man really can comprehend that. But I can comprehend sorrow and travail. Jesus, here in our gospel lesson, is talking about the sorrow and the travail that his disciples will feel. He equates it to a similar feeling that a woman feels as she is giving birth, as she is going through those labor pangs, as she is reminded of Eve's sin each and every time. For it is because of Eve's eating of the fruit that women have such travail in childbirth. But Jesus here talks also about joy. As I've said, I do not comprehend the pain and the travail, but I can see the joy. I have seen the joy as those children draw their first breath, in their tears, the joy that life is now being held in one's arm. The joy of this precious gift that the Lord has given, that we are stewards over it. The joy of holding that life that you have assisted God in creating, for it is procreation. God has given us the ability to be a part of that creation, of that life. And so it is from the words of John 16 that I take comfort. For in reality, if Jesus were not correct here, for in reality, if holding that sweet newborn baby against your chest did not bring you tears of joy from the great sorrow and pain that you just experienced, I don't think a single woman would ever bear more than one child. But there is joy that comes after the deepness, after that travail. There is joy, for life has come into the world. And what sweet joy it is. Jesus is telling them, and he is using this as an example, to show that they will have sorrow, that they will have pain, that they will have suffering. The world will rejoice when Jesus died. But the disciples will be sorrowful, especially as they neglect to remember what Jesus had revealed. He revealed that he would die. In fact, he would be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. But they felt sorrow. They let the world get in the way of the joy of the truth of his promises. But then their sorrow turned into joy. For on that third day, Jesus did exactly as he had promised. He rose from the dead. That is an example of what Jesus is preaching about here. But if that is the only example, then what is the benefit for us today? The benefit is also very clear. The world rejoices in your sorrow, O Christian. The world seeks to create in you doubt over the joy that is coming. The world wants you to be so focused on the here and now that you forget why you are living. They want you to believe that here and now is your resting place, rather than remembering that we are simply pilgrims. We are sojourners here, awaiting the heavenly kingdoms. The sorrow that we experience here will give way to joy. Peter writes in his epistle words from our epistle lesson, and they come and we hear them. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You are called as a Christian to live a life set apart by God. You are not called to live in the drudgery of sin. You are not called to live in the joy of the flesh, but rather in the joy of the Spirit. We do not live as those who have no hope. We do not live for the present. We live for the future. We raise our children not to be touted by the world, not to receive the largest scholarship or the biggest contract. We raise them for eternal life. But in the world, that is the greatest joy that they will experience. Because when you are in the world and not of God, what awaits you for eternity is suffering, hell, condemnation, separation from God. And so they will try to convince you that you need to live it up now. Because after all, this is all that there is. Do not listen to the world. Do not listen to the prince of the world, the devil, who seeks to overthrow you. Rather, listen to the words of Jesus. Hear what his apostle Peter has given us. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Give consideration to what Peter and St. Paul have both written about the government. Why has God given us governing authorities? Both Peter here and Paul in Romans 13 lay out why we have a government. We have a government for this purpose, to punish evildoers and to praise those who do good. That's why they exist. They exist to put down evil and to uphold that which is good. Yes, we can look at the current government and say, that isn't what they're doing at all. And yet, both Peter and Paul said it. Give consideration to how Peter and Paul would both be put to death. They would both be put to death by their government. And yet they still said these words, because these are the words of truth. Peter would be crucified on an upside-down cross because he did not believe himself worthy to die in the same fashion as his Lord. And Paul, out of the grace of being a Roman citizen, would not be crucified. Instead, he would be given a dignified death, a beheading. And yet these men still said that we are to submit. How does that work? Well, thankfully, Peter does lay it out. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. If you are living your life as a Christian, if you are giving praise to God, if you are living according to his truth, then even if they put you to death, it is a glorious thing because it points to Jesus. If you endure this suffering with patience, it is a testament to the joy that you have found in Jesus Christ. As Americans, we rejoice in our liberties that we believe have been given to us not by the government, but by God, as our Constitution is written. That we acknowledge that the Creator has given us these liberties, and the government is to acknowledge the Creator as giving them. And yet, too often, I see people looking at those liberties as a reason to do all sorts of evil. I am an American, I am free, therefore I can do X, Y, or Z. Is that how we are supposed to take these liberties that God has created in us and for us? St. Peter writes, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. We have the freedom of religion. Does that mean we should passively sit by as people worship demons all around us and encourage us to worship them as well? Is that what that means? Is that what God desires for us? You will be called all sorts of names for confessing Jesus Christ. You will be called an idiot. You will be called less than. You will be called all sorts of phobic. You will be called intolerant and a bigot. But stand on the word of God. The world is not your judge. He is. So when God's word clearly teaches something is sin, believe it. We love the sinner just as God loves the sinner. And so we point them to his Son. We point them to the fact that God is bigger than whatever the world has convinced them they should celebrate. God wants us to celebrate him, not the things that we struggle with in our flesh. God wants us to take those struggles that we have in the flesh and lay them at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. For Jesus has died for their sins and your sins. Acknowledge that. Receive that as a gift and praise him for it. The world will mock you. The world will spew all sorts of hateful things against you. But God is judge. That which is done in the dark will be brought to light. So live apart. Live set apart by God for his purposes. Give glory to his name, even if they threaten you, even if they mock you, even if they say all sorts of hateful things against you on the account of Jesus Christ, just as he said would happen. You have been given a cross, and you bear that cross with patient suffering because you know what it creates. Living the life of a Christian is not easy. In fact, it is hard, because while the world wants you to take its cushions, instead we take the wood of that cross. But knowing that that patience and that suffering leads to eternal life makes it totally worth it. Rejoice in Jesus, that he has conquered your sins, that he has conquered death, that he has conquered the devil. The church sings, let praises ring, give thanks and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above, from misery and death set free, all joy and full consolation. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.